psychoanalyze you. You're stupid. I need to have negative thoughts to keep me safe from the saber-toothed tiger that's gonna pop out and eat me as soon as I step out of my cave. Humans were pretty fucked up, but there's beauty in that imperfection. Hello, hello, what is up, Floodsters? Welcome back, motherfuckers. It's another freaking day coming to you once again from Basement Studio. Let's see what's going on with me. Well, I have a little kitten having a nap on my lap. He is just the most cuddly little bugger I have ever met. I always like male cats because I think they're more affectionate than female. And he is really affectionate. My last male Siamese cat was pretty cuddly, more than cheeky. Yeah, you can hear him there. He's helping me podcast. Anyway, he likes to purr a lot. He just really likes to snuggle, to fall asleep on my chest. Even more than playing. I have never met a kitten that is this freaking into just like sitting and cuddling. Yeah, buddy. You're just a little snuggle bean. Yeah. It's really nice. It's really nice. I have to say, having this snuggly little buddy, it's like fulfilling a place in my soul that I didn't realize was missing since I lost my lovely Maubert. I love Cheeky. She is such a character. She is full of personality. But she's just not the snuggliest of kitties. But I'm starting to wonder, actually, if Yomi isn't part ragdoll, not just Siamese. I don't know what his parents looked like, and he didn't come with papers, so he's not like full purebred or anything. And he's got kind of longish fur for a Siamese, so I'm thinking maybe part ragdoll. Because even for a Siamese, I feel like he's really fucking cuddly. I love it, though. I love it. I used to spoon in bed with Maubert. He would sleep in bed with me and I would like cuddle him. He would lie on his side. I'd lie on my side and I'd like put my arm over him and we'd like fucking cuddle. And Yomi likes to do that too. So I'm happy, you know? I'm happy. I am feeling relatively fulfilled and happy the last couple of days. Thank fucking God. Because it got pretty freaking bleak there for a while. Yeah, it's great to feel good, I have to say. And it's like after you get a cold and you start feeling healthy again, you really fucking appreciate feeling healthy. Same when you go through a depression or any kind of mental health problems. When you come out the other side and you feel good, it's like, wow, I feel so good. But I think that's part of life, no? That's part of the process. I'm happier because I was sad. Now I'm just appreciating the little things. And the nice thing is about feeling good, too, is a lot of things have gotten easier. Like Alex and I and our relationship has gotten easier. Or it's rather gotten back to the ease that it's usually at. Because the first 2 months he was here was kind of rough. I mean, not like real bad, but I was super reactive, easily triggered, just all over the place. I realized how much of the issues we were having was because of being depressed and highly sensitive and all that jazz. Yeah. And let me tell you, if you are a couple out there, fucking go to couples therapy. I know I say this on here a lot, but I don't know how anybody expects to be in a relationship without couples therapy. Because we are not taught the shit you need, the tools you fucking need to make a relationship work in school. Or maybe you are if you study psychology or something in college. But certainly not in high school or middle school, you know? It's like trial by fucking fire. Just learn this shit by being in a bunch of shitty relationships with emotionally abusive people who take advantage of you. Not that that happened to me or anything. No, that definitely happened to me. It's like I decided when I was young that I needed to, I don't know, work on all my fucking daddy issues in the first two relationships I had. I just got into relationships with like really controlling fucking men. Not that my dad is controlling. He's the opposite of that. I'm just saying, something needed to be worked out. And it wasn't enough that I got into a relationship with a controlling man when I was 17. I had to do it again when I was 20. Anyway, you know, I don't know. I just think it's a shame that we are all trying to fucking make it through life without the blueprints we need to be successful. This therapist that we go to, this couples therapist that we go to, I have never met a better therapist. She just lays it out. Like, okay, when you get into this situation, this is what you need to do in order to communicate, to understand each other, and all that stuff. And it's so helpful. Yeah, I mean, she talks a lot, which is good and bad. I mean, it's like we bring up one issue and then we dive super deep into that issue and how to navigate that issue or similar issues, how to communicate with each other. And she does a lot of the talking, which is really great because we learn a lot. But I have to say, you know, I do space out sometimes and so does Alex. So yeah, we kind of gotta keep hearing the same thing over and over again and printing fucking, you know, worksheets or diagrams that she gives us so that we can remember, okay, when this happens and I get triggered, I do this. This is how I should react. And I don't know. I can't say more about it. I think it's more valuable, though, this kind of therapy. I don't know what specific technique she uses. Cognitive behavioral, I guess, maybe. She works a lot on nonviolent communication, which I have done a full episode about in case you are interested. So I don't know, you know, if you're struggling as a couple, fucking go to therapy, individual and couples therapy. It's so dumb to me that there's a stigma on therapy, especially couples therapy. It's like, okay, we're not gonna tell you how to navigate your relationship. You just gotta figure it out. And if you do need help, like you're looked down on, what the fuck? Thank God this new generation of Gen Zers are changing the fact that therapy has a stigma on it and more people are in therapy. It's great to have a generation that's more emotionally involved, more communicative. I've also heard that the Gen Zers are having a lot less sex, which I think is kind of interesting, you know? And I don't know if this is true or not, but based off how Gen Zers seem, I'm hoping that part of it, especially for the women, is that they're valuing themselves a little more. I don't think that if you sleep around as a woman or a man, you don't value yourself or something. I just know from personal experience, I felt a lot like I was having sex for approval, for I don't know, because I thought that it made me cool to have more experiences. I don't know if I was just doing it for like the image aspect of it, but like there was some part of me in myself that was like, oh, the more people I sleep with, like the more worldly I am. And I just think I didn't value myself that much. And like I sought value and approval from people that didn't even know me, because that's like the ultimate approval is like when somebody doesn't know you wants to fuck you. I don't know. I don't regret any of that. But I have to say, I think if I was raising a daughter, I'd be teaching them a little bit differently about sex. And I like that the Gen Zers have a different perspective. I mean, I'm hoping the reason why they're not having sex isn't because they're just like on their phones all the time and hardly talking to each other and never getting the opportunity to. I'm hoping because they value themselves a little bit more. They're more protective of themselves. They're more, aware of the negative aspects that come with sex, particularly for women, like the fact that it can be fucking dangerous to have one night stands, to hook up with people you don't know, to go home with people you don't know. And also, you know, I think that generation, they're a little bit more aware of consent and that non-consensual sex is something that could happen to you if you are in these situations. Just more cautious in general, you know? I hope that's the reason why they're not having sex. Not that I want them to be, like, scared to do it, because it can be fun. But I don't know, there's something about our attitude as millennials to sex that might have been a little bit risky. Now I'm going to change the subject. I've been thinking about this topic in particular. I'm really into this podcast I discovered called Mamma Mia Out Loud, and it's an Australian podcast with three women, and they cover like news stories, but you know, light news stories, mostly some political, but not really. It's more like current things that are being discussed in the world, and they have these discussions. And they were talking about, on an episode, an old episode, not super recent one, about, maybe I missed the boat on this completely and like everybody knows this, or this is something niche that just Australians know or whatever. But they were talking about this woman whose husband died. And she decided she wanted to recreate his voice with AI. And I know that's possible. You just have a bunch of recordings. You need like 25 minutes of recording and you submit it. And then they like recreate somebody's voice with AI. And that is fucking crazy because she felt like she had like unanswered things she wanted to tell him. And even though she knew it was a computer generating answers, hearing certain responses from him or the computer in his voice, she thought would give her some kind of closure. But ultimately, she found the opposite. It just opened up a wound. And she wound up deleting, you know, all the files and not going back there. And I was just thinking about that. Would I do that? You know, how tempted would I be to do that? And I was thinking, you know, I don't know, like if Alex died maybe, but I certainly don't think I'd be doing this with my mom. I have to admit, look, it's been over a year and a half since my mom died, and I have not had it in me to listen to her voice. There is something so deeply personal about somebody's fucking voice. And I know it will trigger me emotionally. I have to be in a place where like I need to get triggered emotionally because I, you know, need to cry about it or something. I still have, you know, like WhatsApp messages from her, probably videos with her voice. I just can't do it. I love looking at pictures of her, but her voice, ugh. It's so sad. And, you know, it might be kind of fun to have her, you know, a computer generate responses to things that I want to ask her or tell her. You know, if this is all a fucking simulation and we're all generated by a computer in some alien spaceship or on some alien planet or some shit, what's the difference then? Maybe there's no difference because it's just like a slightly less intelligent version of my mom. But speaking of the simulation theory, this reminds me of a conversation I got into with Alex a couple days ago. I was telling him about an episode that I did for the podcast. I think it's going to come out after this one, or probably not before, but I don't know. Maybe not at all. Where I was talking about whether I thought it was in human biology to be monogamous. And I was telling him about how, you know, our closest ancestors, the orangutans, no, the other ones, the chimps, how, you know, about their family structure and stuff. And the subject of evolution came up. And Alex, he has some, you know, different ideas from the majority of people about certain things. And he was like, I don't like evolution and the Big Bang theory. I mean, he likes the TV show, but the actual scientific theory, not that much. The part that he doesn't like is that the idea that, like, the universe and humans, that all happened randomly without purpose. That, you know, bang, the universe was created, and then over years and years, humans evolved. Animals evolved to be humans. He's like, nah, I don't like this. Because it makes it all seem kinda meaningless. And I totally get his point. He's like, I almost like the idea of us living in a simulation more than I like the idea that this is just fucking random. Because at least if we're in a simulation, most likely something intentionally created a computer that created us, or potentially they on purpose created the universe. And so I was just curious, like, okay, well, I mean, even if somebody did it on purpose, like, why does it really make it better if some weird alien on his planet is programming a computer to make us all do things? Does that really make life feel more meaningful? Because it doesn't really to me. And he was like, well, okay, forget the simulation theory. Let's say there is some supreme being or some being that created the universe and created humanity. He created us in his image, just basically as the Bible said. Perhaps to, I don't know, I can't even fucking remember what he said. Maybe because you're more powerful in a bunch of different versions, kinda, you know? Basically, some being created us in its own image. And I was like, oh, so we're basically like a bunch of Voldemort Horcruxes. Something created us and split their being and their soul into tiny little pieces to make itself stronger? I mean, obviously Voldemort is not God, but some being. Let's hope the being is not like a demon. But I guess if you think about it, humans were good and bad, which means whatever created us is probably good and bad, if Alex's theory is correct. I don't know, I just thought it was interesting. I want to believe in a higher power. I do. And it is kind of bleak to think it all just happened randomly. I don't know, but the jury's still out, you know, on me, for me. I mean, I don't know. I just don't fucking know, you know? I guess I'm just an agnostic. I believe that I just don't fucking know. I think that's what agnostic is. Yeah, that's a nice little nugget to think about. Anyway, I guess that's all for today. As always, you can reach out to me at perfectlyflawedcast@gmail.com or hit me up on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at perfectlyflawedcast. Bye.